Russell Kelso Carter was born on November 18, 1849, in Baltimore, Maryland. During his days as a student, he was known as an outstanding athlete. And in 1887, he was ordained into the Methodist ministry and became an active leader in the Holiness Camp Meeting movement. Throughout his life, Carter was known as a most interesting and versatile individual. In addition to being a Methodist minister, he was a professor of chemistry, of natural science, of civil engineering, and mathematics at Pennsylvania Military Academy. He was also a sheep rancher in California, they said. Also a publisher of many textbooks, as well as an author of several novels. But what he's most famous for is he helped compile the Christian Missionary Alliance hymnal, in which he himself contributed 68 tunes and 52 poems. Then in his later years, he decided to study medicine and became a physician there in Baltimore, Maryland. But while he was still serving as professor in 1886, Carter is known for these famous words: "Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God." And I thought about the second verse to that famous hymn, "Standing on the Promises," as I was preparing my sermon this week. Because this week we're going to talk about the fourth phrase there in the Lord's Prayer, about unanswered prayer and the mystery of unanswered prayer. You know, if you've been around here these last several weeks, we've been talking about why prayers go unanswered. And we saw in week one that our prayers go unanswered because sometimes they're just too small. Week two, we learned that sometimes they are just too self-centered. Then last week, we talked that our prayers are just too short, that we need to persevere in our prayers, be persistent in our day-to-day prayers, praying for our daily bread, being persistent throughout the day, praying without ceasing. And this week we're going to look at another aspect of prayer that I kind of hinted at as I told you about the story of Russell Carter: doubt or lack of faith. Because if you pray with doubt or a lack of faith, then your prayers will indeed go unanswered. And again, as we've looked at the last several weeks, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer in order to see how we can pray effectively and not pray with this kind of doubt. So pray with me the Lord's Prayer this morning as I pray together with you. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You see, this morning we are going to look at that fourth phrase there, "and forgive us our debts." Now this phrase deals with the whole attitude of sin and how sin can hinder our prayers, and we need to ask forgiveness for this. But I want to just deal with one aspect of sin this morning, and when we get to "lead us not into temptation," deal with the other aspects of sin in our lives in general. Today we're going to look at one sin in our life that will definitely hinder our prayers and we need to ask for forgiveness for. And that's why I've entitled this message this morning, "Your Prayer is Too Skeptical." Turn with me, if you have your Bibles this morning, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, it'll be up on the screen as well here. James chapter 1, we'll be reading three verses from James chapter 1 there. James writes, "If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does." You see, the problem with our prayer, we're going to look at this morning, that are too skeptical, is first of all, our problem is that they lack conviction. First thing we need to understand about the passage from James this morning, when he talks about doubt, is what he means by the word doubt. Because I found that the dictionary defines doubt in two different ways, and I think two different distinct ways that we need to keep in mind. The first is a feeling of uncertainty. This is a sense of hesitancy or unsureness. And it's kind of a natural human emotion that we have, wondering when and if God will act. But as I thought about that, I'm not sure that's what James is talking about here, because we see throughout the Bible many doubts, especially in the Psalms with David. Psalm 6 says this, speaks of anguish and wonders how long God's going to respond. He says, "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long?" David's wondering what's going on, why his prayers are not answered. Psalm 22, which has the famous words that Jesus spoke on the cross, says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and I am not silent. And again in Psalm 69, it says, "Don't hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I'm in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Redeem me from my foes." But this kind of doubt I don't see as what James is talking about here, this human unease. I would not even probably categorize this kind of doubt as a sin that would hinder our prayers. It's a human feeling, and I don't find many places in the Bible where God condemns our feelings. He wants to know our feelings. He wants us to be honest with our feelings to Him. It's only the Bible that condemns our actions due to those feelings. You see, the second way the definitely defines doubt is a lack of conviction. And that's what I think James is talking about here. It's trying to believe two different things at once. Or saying that, yes, I believe this, but then not acting upon it. Acting as if you didn't believe it. One commentary said it's this, it's waffling back and forth that results in inaction. So in faith, when James says, when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. This is the kind of doubt I think James is talking about here. This is what James is saying. Because he'll go on to say that this kind of doubt, this lack of conviction, is double-mindedness. It's like a rudderless boat on a sea that is blown with winds and waves. It's a kind of duplicity, as one commentary says. That would be better than doubt. Must believe and not have duplicity in his heart. Because duplicity almost has an unbelief aspect to it. Warren Wiersbe says this, "There's a difference between unbelief and doubt. Unbelief is a matter of the will. It causes people to rebel against God and say, no matter what the Lord says or does, I won't believe it or obey it. However, doubt is a matter of the heart and of the emotions." So when James says we must believe, have faith and not doubt, he's talking about the kind of doubt that kind of paralyzes us into inaction. You believe one thing, but do another. It's kind of like the church in Laodicea that we read about in Revelation chapter 3. The one that he says, "I know your deeds, that you're neither not hot nor cold, you're lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth because of it." It's that kind of inaction, it's that kind of waffling that James is talking about that we want to get away from in our prayer life. I think it's also important to point out at this point that James is also not comparing our doubt with the size or purity of our faith. Doubt does not equal little or less faith. So when people say, "Oh, you just don't have enough faith in your prayers," or you need more faith, that's not what doubt is talking about here. Even when Jesus says and uses the term, "you have little faith" in the Gospels, In the context, he's not criticizing the size of someone's faith, but their inaction, their lack of conviction to go through with what they believe. That's the problem. The lack of conviction that puts faith into action. It doesn't have to do anything to do with the size or the amount of faith we have. It says we need to do things that we believe, that we pray for. This is the kind of doubt, this lack of conviction to act upon what we believe is what's at the heart of this passage. And I think it's at the heart of some of our prayers this morning as well. We pray, but don't act upon what we're told to do, what we asked God to do. We're too skeptical to believe, to have faith that God will answer our prayers. Do you find yourself in that situation sometimes? I know I do. In fact, just this last week, I was talking with my wife. We were talking about the movie night, and I said, well, we got so much popcorn and so many bags for popcorn that we can probably do 150. Do you think that might be enough? And she said, well, what if God's going to do something much more than that? And I said, well, I think 150 would be a good number. If we get that, I'll be happy. She says, but what if God wants us to do more than that? What if God brings more people than that? And I had to think about that I just wasn't having faith in God. I was asking God to bless this night, this movie night that's coming up, but did I really have the faith to take that step out in faith and to believe? I was waffling, and I had to check myself on that. Maybe you're doubting this morning that God's going to bring four new families. We've been praying for four new families for several months now. Haven't seen too many walk in the door. Do we have the faith? Not only to pray for that, but to put that faith into action. You see, that's what James does in this book. If you read throughout James, he talks about faith, having true faith, is not just saying things. It's doing things. Faith is seen in our deeds, not just in our words. Maybe you have faith, or you're doubting that God is not going to heal you, maybe because you're getting up in age, and you just don't have the faith to pray, heal me. And believe that. Maybe your doubt is just paralyzing you and not leading you to action. And it's a big problem, this kind of doubt, this lack of conviction. So what's the solution? What's the solution that we see in the Lord's Prayer? We see having loads of confidence. You see, if you remember those Psalms that I read from David this morning about his doubts, continue reading on with those. Psalm 6 continues, "The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace." Psalm 22, which started out, "Why have you forsaken me?" ends with this, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel, for he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help." And of course, Psalm 69, that's talks about how God was hiding his face from his servant, says in the end, "I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people." You see, David knew, despite his doubts, who God was and how incredible God was and how God had been with him throughout, how faithful God had been through the ages. He had loads of confidence that God would not remain silent, that God heard him, that God would answer his call. He did not lack the conviction that we see here in James, but he had the full confidence that God would answer. And look in the book of Romans how Abraham is used as an example of the confidence of faith. It said, "He, Abraham, did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but Abraham was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness." You see, if you remember the story of Abraham, how Abraham, it seemed like at times he just didn't believe God, how he tried to do things his own way. But this passage says, no, he did not waver in unbelief. He may have had doubts in his heart and feelings, but he had full confidence that God would answer and keep his promises. You see, true faith does not count or discount the minor doubts and fears that we might feel. It does not give us the lack of faith or make our faith even smaller. But faith sees past our fears. Faith sees past our worries to a God who we're confident will answer. Without this load of confidence, you'll be stuck in that lack of conviction we see James talking about, the one where we're tossed to and fro, where you're double-minded and unstable in all you do. If your prayer is like that, too skeptical, it will remain unanswered. But I hope that your prayer life is free of doubt, that you have confidence in God. I hope you see past your problems and worries to a God who is willing and able, that we can put full confidence in. A God who loves us, who has always been and always will remain faithful to us. So don't let your prayers lack the confidence to move out in faith, knowing God is out there and looking out for your best interest, molding you into his image. Be like these men of the Bible, Abraham and David, who even though they had setbacks in their life, even though they had feelings of inadequacy at times, did not let that impact their faith and belief in the trustworthiness of God. So this morning, is your prayer too skeptical? When you pray, forgive us our sins, our debts, let's ask specifically for God, for him to not to let our prayers be too skeptical. Ones that lack conviction, prayers that paralyze us in fear. Prayers that are not prayed to a God who is faithful and trustworthy. We have a God like that, a God who keeps his promises. So we need to pray in full confidence, with loads of confidence, that we're praying to a loving and wonderful God. A God who hears and answers. A God who, as we started out this morning, that Kelso Kramer had this morning, standing on the promises. Because God gives us promises throughout the Bible that we can stand upon, that are firm and rock solid. There isn't a promise yet that God hasn't fulfilled. God keeps his promises. As I started out the message, standing on promises that cannot fail, even when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God, the life-giving word of God, we shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. I think that's an incredible hymn of faith. Faith in not doubting in God. You see, just like Dr. Carter mentioned, he knows the promises of God, and he knows he's faithful. So when you pray, forgive us our debts, believe, and don't be double-minded in your faith, and your prayers will go answered. This morning we're going to close with another tremendous hymn of faith. It talks about trusting in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. So if you have your hymn books this morning, hymn number 350. And we're going to sing the final hymn here this morning. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Look at the words this morning as we sing this out loud.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I've trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Final verse.
I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I've trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
And Lord, that's what we ask this morning. Oh, give us the faith to stand upon Your promises and to trust You more and more in our prayer life daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.